Thank you for listening to Blazing the Trail, a podcast hosted by Cross Lake Community School. The purpose of this podcast is to expand listeners' knowledge of career paths through interviews with interesting people. Cross Lake Community School is located in Cross Lake, Minnesota, and has an innovative kindergarten through eighth grade seat-based program located in Cross Lake, Minnesota, as well as an online program which serves students from anywhere in the state of Minnesota as long as they are in 7th through 12th grade and reside in Minnesota. Students can receive a high school diploma from our high school program or participate as a part-time online learning student in accordance with Minnesota online learning statutes while they are enrolled in another school. Today we want to thank the Lake Foundation, a group of individuals who formed a nonprofit organization with the sole purpose of building a school for Cross Lake Community School to be located in Cross Lake, Minnesota. If you would like to participate in their fundraising campaign to be a part of this exciting time, please go to their website, buildtheschool.org. Thank you, and we look forward to being in our school as soon as possible in fall of 2018. This episode's guest is Andre Watkins, who works at Waco High School. Listen as we did our sound check and he shared these really great nuggets. What did you do just prior to here?
I started off in the district as an aide at the alternative campus.
Okay.
And as an aide, I kind of had a more therapeutic way of dealing with things, because when you work in facilities, there is no suspension from the facility.
Right.
They're there when they're there.
Right.
So you have to learn how to be even therapeutic as a daily care staff, because you share a space with them every day.
Yeah.
And it just works better if you can learn how to be in harmony in that space. And what most adults are failing to realize is that we control the harmony of the space.
Yeah.
Not the child.
Wow, that's good. We control the harmony of the space. Andre, thank you so much for meeting with me today. This is really exciting. Thank you for the tour of your facility already. And for listeners, we are sitting in what used to be the
in-school suspension
room. And it's not a nice facility.
Not at all.
But now you coordinate the Restorative Justice Center, and I was able to take a peek in there, and it's much brighter and good for students. So we'll get to that.
Okay.
But let's go back down memory lane a little bit and think for yourself as a high schooler, 16, 17 years old. Who were you then? What did you think your future held?
Well, I thought I would be doing something mechanical for the rest of my life. Electrician, you know, auto mechanic, something of that nature. I never dreamed that I would be doing things to interact with young people to help their lives. I always knew I was an effective communicator, but I never knew that that would be a pathway to a career. I had no idea when I was 16.
Yeah. So what was it that was drawing you to the mechanical? Was somebody else in your life involved in those kinds of things?
No, both of my parents are career educators.
Oh.
You know, my father taught college for 30 years, a biology professor. My mother retired as a high school counselor.
Okay.
But my interests were always with tinkering, and building and working on my own car and doing things of that nature. So that's what I kind of gravitated to. It's still a hobby and an interest now, but it wasn't the career path that laid out for me.
Sure. I'm interested in the tinkering. Mm-hmm. Do you like to take something that doesn't exist and create it, or do you prefer to take something that maybe is broken and make it better?
I kind of lean toward both. As far as metal, I tend to like to take something that's already existing and fix that or work with that. Wood, plastics, I tend to be more creative with those.
Okay.
Those are more maybe malleable substances that I'm able to shape and mold more easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to make things out of wood and sometimes plastics as it pertains to automobiles, car audio, things of that nature. I've always been pretty good at that.
I'm sure you kind of get where I'm going with that thinking, right? Because the work that you're doing now, you're not starting from scratch with these kids in this high school.
Right.
You're getting them where they are.
But I think that lends, in high school, it lends more to the mental aspect.
Yeah.
Because you're taking something that's already pretty much developed and can't be changed except with extreme heat or extreme cold.
Right.
But with the younger kids, you're taking something that's more able to be manipulated in its in its true form.
Yeah.
Which is why I believe that the next move for the school district will be restorative practices on an elementary level, starting, you know, in pre-K and kindergarten.
Sure.
With the introduction of it and the teaching of it. And I think catching them there is the next wave that we need to get on.
Yeah. Well, since you brought up restorative justice, let's go ahead and just kind of rabbit trail there for a minute.
Okay.
Give us a little bit for people who are listening, maybe aren't familiar with the practice.
Okay.
Give us a little synopsis of what it is and how you use it.
Okay, restorative justice, restorative practices is simply getting back to the art of listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that before we have so many technological distractions, that there was a time when we actually took time to listen and solve a problem instead of Googling it instantly or avoiding it by delving off into a world of social media or every album in the world readily at your fingertips so you can kind of tune the world out. There was a time when we actually took time to listen to each other. And that's all restorative practices does. It gives everybody a space to be listened to fully.
Okay.
And once you are able to listen fully to a person, you're able to use your logic and reasoning to ascertain the root of an issue, and then you address the problem at the root instead of addressing it at the flower.
Got you. So in practice here at a high school level, give us an example of somebody that's coming to you and needs to walk through this practice. What gets them into your space?
Well, we walked into one.
Yeah, we did.
There was a young lady who had a lunch detention that she needed to serve. The lunch detention was being held in a space with which she felt uncomfortable.
Mm.
One of the staff members was dealing with about 17 things at one time, and he really didn't have the patience to hear or try to understand her issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked into the situation. I had a chance to observe and see what was going on and kind of just get a bird's eye view of the situation. I understood why she didn't want to be in that area.
Yeah.
And then I came up with an alternative for her to be more comfortable and see to her needs while still upholding the integrity of the school.
Right.
So that's all restorative practices is, being observant with your eyes and ears and with your heart.
Yeah.
And understanding that not every person fits into every situation. It's hard to come up with a blanket policy for a building of 2,500 people.
I totally agree with that. It's hard to come up with a policy for five.
Right?
Because everybody who breaks a rule breaks it for a different reason.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And once we ascertain those reasons, I believe it's our responsibility as adults in a situation where we're developing children, it's our responsibility to be a little bit more flexible and to give each child their own opportunity to grow in the pattern that fits them best.
Right. Do you think that kids eventually will come to, let's say that they've been disrespectful or rude or, you know, just non-compliant.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, given that time to work through that in their head, that they'll be able to come to a point where they can even apologize for that behavior? Is that some of what happens with restorative justice?
Oh, yes. We have all kind of instances where when you give a child a different scenario and different way to look at it, you put them in the seat of the teacher or even put the teacher in the seat of a child.
Yeah.
Sometimes a teacher will go back and say, hey, I didn't know enough to handle this the right way. I assumed too much.
Right.
You know, because I've been teaching for 20 years and I think that every behavior I've seen it before and it should be treated just like it was in the past. I didn't give enough attention to you as an individual.
Hmm.
And on the converse side, I don't think kids see us as human sometimes.
Right.
I think that they think there's a valley of teacher nest filled with teacher eggs and that a big teacher bird comes sits on them and then we hatch and then we come to work. And, once you show them that that's not true, that we were children and that every issue that we have has been shaped by our past, just like yours. And then we show them ways to go back and mend that, and that the word okay is not necessarily an agreement, but it is a term that we use to say that I see your point, I know my point, and we're going to go forward.
I love that. I know my point, I see your point, and we're going to go forward. Wow, our country really needs that.
Yeah,
that's great. Let's go back and walk through where you've been to get to this point.
Okay.
What other stops have you made along the way?
Wow. I was helping, I got recently remarried and my wife had two children. One of them are my oldest is 23. Her oldest is 22. The next one is 20. My daughter is 18 and my son is 14. The 20-year-old and I were talking, and he's at that point in his life where he's a millennial, so to speak.
So he's
impatient with his progress.
Yeah.
So I wrote down every job I had, and it took a whole sheet of notebook paper.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe we won't have time for all
of
them.
Right, right.
Yeah, so give us some highlights.
I left high school. I went to MCC for a year, McClendon Community College. Wasn't real focused.
Okay.
So I went to the United States Navy. I was an avionics tech. I work on aviation electronics because I was always handy with electronics as a kid.
Thank you for serving, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So I went to the Navy. I served 4 years. I came back from the Navy. I had an assortment of odd jobs while I tried to figure out why I was so good mechanically, but miserable.
Oh, wow.
Eventually, I got into being a park ranger of all things because I enjoyed being outside and I enjoyed dealing with people.
Okay.
And it was there that I met the principal here, Mr. Ed Love, and he noticed my way in dealing with people. He also saw that in my background of I had started in the field of criminal justice. He saw that I had worked at Texas Juvenile Justice Department and at the McClendon County Juvenile Center. Both of jobs, which I was pretty good at, I rose from the floor to the supervisor on both.
Wow.
But I felt like I was too far down the pipeline to help young people.
Sure.
So I left those jobs. I started working at the YMCA. I went from the YMCA to the park rangers. While I was working at the park rangers, Mr. Love asked me to come work at the school part-time in the morning because I already had a full-time evening job.
Right.
So I worked both of those jobs simultaneously for about three, almost 4 years.
Wow.
When restorative practices came to the district. That summer, I quit my city job before I even had this job because I knew something was coming.
Wow.
And I took that summer to become more familiar with it and get trained. I applied for and got a job in the school district doing restorative practices, and we've been at it for three going on 4 years now.
Wow. So your role here is to coordinate that program?
Yes, I coordinated on this campus. I have a behavior support staff of 7 people.
Wow.
And we tried our best to be preemptive and not just reactive to any kind of discipline program, any kind of emotional problem. We don't throw away the rule book,
right?
But we try to affect the rule book with compassion.
Yeah. Wow. That's a big job.
Very, very much. I'll wait for that bell. We are in a school.
That's okay.
One of the things that we try to work hard at is forming relationships with each other as adults and with each and every individual child that we can.
Mm-hmm.
Those preemptive relationships help us when the time comes that we have to be reactive.
Right.
We already have a foundation of affection, a foundation of trust, a foundation of empathy built with that student, and we're able to kind of check out of that bank that we've already put into them. We're able to make a withdrawal and help them deal through a tough situation with compassion, with understanding, and also with the ability to communicate information with them that will help them make better decisions.
Right, because that's really what you want to do, is that the same decision that got them to where they were isn't something that they repeat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And we want to teach them how when they get in a crisis situation with each other or with an adult, that there's a way that you can listen and be heard with respect,
right,
even in those instances.
I would think that it would be really hard to be a student here and have that kind of attitude, you know, where this is how your staff is working with students. And then they go out into the world, right? And restorative practices aren't as available.
Prevalent.
And so then, you know, if they're stopped by an adult in a store, or, you know, how they need to bring that. And that must be a really hard message, that they have to be the ones who take the step back and don't react when an adult is reacting to them.
Well, one of the things that we tell them is that schools are, they're not separate from the community.
Mm-hmm.
The school is where the community sends their most precious resource, the children.
Yeah.
So in essence, when we build community here, we're building community all over the world, because people from Waco High School will touch all over the world.
Right.
So what we do here, we have to spread.
Mm-hmm.
So if we teach you conflict resolution is here, take it back to your neighborhood.
Right.
If we teach you how to resolve a conflict with an authority figure here, take that into that instance when you may be pulled over by the police, instead of thinking that it's all about you and how you feel.
Right.
Understand how that person feels in the moment and what they need to feel respected. And then they'll reciprocate that to you. And if they don't reciprocate it to you, you just keep putting it out there and it'll come back.
Yeah, because every time we bring a calmer head to a situation, we're able to bring that energy into that situation.
Right.
I mean, we really seem to have a lot of control about what we bring to a situation.
Right.
And I don't think that we share that with kids enough.
Right. I don't think that we really focus on the energy of a situation enough, and it is tactile and real.
Yeah.
And once you show it to young people, they're able to balance themselves and also balance the area around them by putting out positive energy, by letting their communication be such that it can't be misunderstood as aggression.
Right.
Because sometimes defense can be confused with aggression, and our children are really sensitive, and I think we are as adults too. We're really sensitive as people, and we don't convey that sensitivity with enough originality or with enough integrity for somebody else to understand that what you did hurt me,
right,
and that is why my reaction is so and so.
Right.
So if we teach them to say, this is what harms me,
right,
this is when I feel the least respected, this is when I feel the most vulnerable, then in those conversations, with people having those conversations consistently, then we develop a list of values. There's that bell.
I'm going to try and cut that out.
We have a list of values that helps us govern ourselves when we're with each other.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Well, thinking back to the Navy, the Park Ranger time, what are some of the skills that might not be obvious to me that you bring to your daily life here at Waco High School?
Okay. The United States Navy taught me that just doing a job isn't enough. That you have to go above and beyond.
I like that.
And that was always taught to me as a child, but it was developed and really reinforced when I was in the Navy as a young man.
Okay.
Park Ranger taught me to be ready for anything. I mean, I could be at work and lightning would strike a tree and drop a tree across a road, and then I had to coordinate the removal of that and the safety of people. I could be doing anything from that to helping parents set up a birthday party for a child in the park.
Wow.
So it kind of taught me how to be ready for anything and how to put a different mental hat on for each situation.
Yeah, and I'm guessing, having been in the room with you for just a brief amount of time, whenever a student walks in that door, you don't know, are they bringing a lightning strike or a birthday party?
That's right.
Right?
That's right. And you have to be prepared for both. And in the lightning strike, I couldn't hop out of my Park Ranger truck and say, oh my God, it's lightning, it's a tree, oh my God. I had to be calm.
Right.
I had to be calm.
All right, folks, let's move on.
And then the same calm I had to exude at the birthday party.
Right.
Because even though I'm there to help with the celebration, I'm still an authority figure.
Right.
And I have a job to do, and I can't get too caught up in that. So I think it really taught me a balance between the two extremes.
Well, to wrap up our time and let you get back to the lightning strike or the birthday party, whichever one you get back to in that room or in the hallway, are there any nuggets of advice that you've learned along the way that you would share with your students here at Waco High School and are abroad listening?
Okay. One thing that I would share with the younger me, I would say that it's okay to be multifaceted.
Oh.
you can be a football player and play the trombone in the band and be in debate, which I was all three in high school at different parts. But at that time, I thought it was weird that I didn't just want to be one.
Sure.
But as I've grown older, I realized that all those different interests help make you a well-rounded person.
Right.
And that you're able to relate with a broad cross-section instead of just being one way, mm-hmm. having one frame of reference, one body of work from which to pull anecdotal wisdom.
Yeah.
But when you allow yourself to be multifaceted and embrace the fact that it's okay to be so, you just don't have to be one thing.
Yeah.
I'm a large guy. I've been large since I was 12. I don't think I've been under 200 pounds that many times since I was 12. But my parents always told me that you just don't have to be a football player.
Right.
Nobody can tell you that you can't play football and be in the band and be in debate for UIL.
Right.
Nobody in my home made me be that.
Good.
So I would tell a younger me and others that are like me, try it all.
Try it all.
See what fits
and
wear the heck out of it.
Right. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate our time. And I think that our listeners are going to really value this time.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming to talk to me.
The content of Blazing the Trail is produced by Crosslake Community High School, an online hybrid school based in Crosslake, Minnesota, but with students from all over the state of Minnesota, as well as tuition-based students from all over the United States. If you love Blazing the Trail, consider donating to our scholarship fund, which will help support future plans of our graduating seniors. Blazing the Trail will engage with people from all over the world and interview them about their career paths. The purpose is to expose you to the possibilities available to you as you blaze the trail for a better future.